Then it was Saturday night all over again. All that was missing were the balloons and champagne. They were all there, sitting on the floor around the ship's generators with their legs chained together like galley slaves, was the entire company of Deep Encounter.
"Where in Hades did you come from?" asked Birch.
"From a very luxurious yacht," answered Giardino. "But that's another story." He looked at Chief Engineer House. "What have you got to cut the chain?" House pointed to a side compartment. "In the tool room you'll find a pair of cable cutters hanging on the bulkhead."
"Release the crew first," Pitt said to Giardino. "We've got to get the ship underway before the hijackers come on board." He turned to Birch. "This is where I leave you."
The captain looked blank.
"There is a guard in a house on the cliffs above the entrance to the channel. I'm guessing that besides keeping a lookout for intruders, he has enough firepower to stop any ship leaving the lagoon. I've got to get there first and remove the threat."
The way the crew hurried about their duties as calmly as if they were leaving the dock in San Francisco, there were no wasted words. All Birch had to do with the modern systems on board the Deep Encounter was punch a code into the computer. Then it was all automatic. But there was nothing he could do to muffle the rattle and clank as the chain scraped through the hawse hole into the chain locker. Down below, House's hands played over the control panel. Before long, the propellers bit the water and dragged down the stern as the ship lurched forward. Giardino took the automatic rifles gathered from the two hijackers and stationed himself behind the gunwale a few feet away from the gangplank leading to the pirate ship. "Now comes the fun part," he thought, as he heard the clatter from the anchor chain. True to expectations, three of the hijackers rushed out of the mess room to see what the noise was about. Confused at seeing the anchor of the Deep Encounter being raised, one started yelling, "Stop! Stop! You can't leave ahead of schedule!" It was not in Giardino's nature to lie quiet.
"Don't need no crew,"
he said in a grating voice, still mimicking the frog-throated hijacker.
"I'm gonna do the job myself."
A rasping voice shouted out,
"Who are you?"
"Sam."
"You're not Sam. Where is he?"
Giardino could feel the beat of the engines increase as the ship began to make headway. Another few seconds and the gangplank would be pulled off the ship.
"Sam says you're a drooling imbecile who can't be trusted to raise a toilet seat."
Curses and shouts erupted as a crowd of hijackers made a run for the gangplank. Two of them were halfway across when Giardino took careful aim and shot them in the knees. At that moment, the end of the gangplank fell away as the survey ship got underway and began her dash through the channel. The hijackers rallied in the blink of an eye. Before the Deep Encounter had covered 100 yards, the anchor was hoisted on the workboat, and she leaped to the pursuit. A volley of shots rang out, answered by Giardino, who unleashed several shots through the bridge windshield of the workboat. Then all eyes turned toward the steep cliffs and the tiny light that shone from the security guard's watchhouse. They wondered if Pitt could get there before they reached the channel entrance. The path, if you could call it that, was barely a foot wide and twisted torturously up the rising cliffs from the lagoon. Pitt ran as fast as he was able to push his body. His feet ached from the pounding on the lava rock and had begun to bleed. He had worn only sweat socks under the dive fins he'd borrowed from the old man, and they were soon reduced to shreds. With his hand, he shaded the tiny penlight he had brought, to keep the beam from being seen by the guard in his watchhouse. He threw a quick glance back over his shoulder at hearing the sound of gunfire. He was confident that his friend of 30 years would never allow any attackers past the gangplank. The movement of the lights shining through the ports and flickering on the waters of the lagoon told him the Deep Encounter was underway. The shouting that echoed up the rock walls told him the pirate ship was rapidly taking up the chase. He was less than 50 yards from the guardhouse when he saw a shadow pass in front of the light streaming from a window. The watch guard had come out of his house and was standing on the edge of the cliff, staring down at the survey ship, surging through the channel. Pitt materialized out of the night like an angel of death, running with all the determination he could gather. The agony that erupted from his cut and torn feet was willed away as he sprinted. The guard was in the act of activating the firing mechanism of the missile launcher when he sensed a figure hurtling toward him. Pitt launched himself through the air, striking the guard just as he fired the missile. The blast from the launcher flashed over Pitt's head, singeing his hair as he smashed his head and shoulder into the guard's chest. They crashed to the ground as the missile, its aim altered by the impact, flashed through the night and struck the side of a cliff 50 feet above and slightly behind the stern of the Deep Encounter. The explosion sent lava rock bursting across the channel, fragments raining down on the survey ship, but causing no casualties and little damage. The guard, stunned and with two broken ribs, struggled to his feet and lunged at Pitt like a wounded boar. Using brain instead of muscle, Pitt deftly stepped aside. The guard reeled past, stumbled, and fell over the edge of the cliff. The only sound came from a distant splash far below. With cold efficiency, Pitt quickly pulled a missile from the wooden crate, shoved it in the launcher, and aimed at the pirate ship plunging through the channel no more than 100 yards behind Deep Encounter.